their song that they sang on more than one occasion, but particularly as they knelt in prayer just before they flew into what was later known as Palm Beach. Be still, my soul, thy God doth undertake to guide the future as he has the past. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. I must admit it, when we heard the word, my confidence was shaken. Here were young men, really in a sense the cream of the crop, who had committed themselves to serve the Lord from beginning to end. And then all of a sudden, that was the end for them. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul. The waves and winds will still know his voice who ruled them while he dwelt below. Well, 30 years have gone by, and although we couldn't understand it at the time, we have seen books written about them. We know of people whose lives have been changed through that experience. And although it was very dark at that time, it's bright, and certainly was bright for them. They were brought to a joyful end in what we might call a tragic way. But God has worked mightily. So I just want to share that with you, and maybe some others would like to share what God has done that you know of. John?
From my own life, I know that God's power can work in situations when we can't see the light of what it is. When I was younger, I was 12, and I noticed what it's like to be somebody who you're not really expecting. Really, out of the blue, I had a brother who was 14, and he took his own life at 14 years old when I was 12. And I looked back at that time, and I really had no concept at all of why God would do something like that. I knew that my brother knew the Lord, and I had committed myself to the Lord. We both had at the same time, and my mom, it was a real blessing that my mom had been able to be close to the Lord. And I couldn't figure out why. And even for the longest time, I let that really affect my walk with God and my trust in God, because if deep down inside, you really had not resolved the sovereignty of God in your life and the working of God, when you lose sight of that, then somehow your focus is just a little bit off. And just recently, he has allowed me to see so many things that he had done to do that. Not that that was his perfect choice to happen, that that was happening, but I know that through that, he brought my grandfather to know him, through the grief and bringing him to me, to myself, as well as my father, who for as long as he could really stopped that religion. And to him, it was a woman's religion, and it was something that the weak needed. But God brought him to the point where he could finally show beside himself and show without his own strength that he had to come to that point of realizing his need for Savior. And even something recently that I was even trying to share tonight, this summer, when I was a camp counselor out in California for kids in the inner city in San Jose, I saw how God brought a boy into my cabin. He was 11 years old, and when he was 7, he had tried to take his own life at 7 years old. And I just thought, wow, God. Because I could talk to him, and I knew what he was going through, because he had a very similar personality. My brother was anger. He didn't know how to deal with anger. And I saw how God was able to use that situation in my life, that I could really share with this boy how God loved him and how God did not want him to be the slave of his own anger. And that boy ended up that week coming to the Lord. And his problem with anger wasn't taken away and eliminated, but he had the hope and he had a Savior. And he knew the power of forgiveness in his own life because God had forgiven him. And so I know we can't see now what God is going to do through this situation, but I know because of God's character that mighty things will come to pass because of it. And even though we can't fathom it, God is a sovereign God. And as I read it in the scripture, our faith rests not on the wisdom of men, not on our ability to figure out, but on the power and the greatness of the power of God.
Thank you, John. Anyone else that can share such something with us to increase our faith? Steve, Stephen. Thank you. This is a time for encouraging each other as we have experienced this loss. Anyone else? And we might be encouraged together. And then we'll spend just a little time in prayer for Paul and Sue Cole. And I'm sure that Phil and Georgia Comfort are feeling the pain of it too, for the accident happened at their place. Glad Phil's here today and sharing with us. Yes, and thank you. Thank you, Andrew. Let's just spend a few moments in prayer, particularly for the Colds and the Duncans at this time. Some of you, I'm sure, would have seen Ian because he runs in around your feet, ran in around your feet at the coffee hour. You may not have recognized him. You may not have known him. You may not have picked him up because he wasn't the kind of little boy that liked strangers to pick him up. He's especially fond of his grandpa, Sir Duncan. And that's going to be especially hard, I think, on him. So we just pray for this family and for ourselves as well as we do ask the question. We have been thinking about the power of the Holy Spirit and the importance of the Spirit in our lives, and that's what I was going to talk about today, the Holy Spirit and the experience of the Christian, but maybe we'll save that for next week. But you'll remember, as we talked about the Holy Spirit in the life of our Lord Jesus, we saw how that it was extraordinarily important for him as he went into the desert, into the wilderness, to be tempted by the devil. And Luke especially makes it very clear that not only did the Spirit lead him into the wilderness, into that place of desolation, into that place where he was particularly vulnerable to the tempter's power, but the Holy Spirit led him all the way through that time. And I am confident that in part his victory was due to the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit working in his life. And so as we have listened in the past, those of us who have been here, about the power and the presence and the work of the Spirit of God, may we just ask that God would breathe his breath of life into the hearts of the family that remains. For Ian, although no longer with us here on earth, is alive with the life of Christ. More alive, perhaps, than he's ever been before, and yet he was a very lively young boy. So would you join me in prayer? And anyone who wishes to certainly may participate at this time in prayer for these.
Thank you that we have no doubt that he is in your presence. We don't know why you have taken him, but we leave that before him. We say, especially for his father and mother, we realize how many burdens and upsets they had during the past month. Thank you.
Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we just come to you because you are the author of life. You are the God of creation. You are always present to construct, to build, to sustain, to give. And you are the ultimate sovereign Lord of the universe. Yet we realize that you have allowed within your universe one to turn against you, Satan, and he is the destroyer. And everything that he touches, he brings to destruction. The author of death. And we ask, our Father, that you will protect each of us here against the destroyer who would ruin that which you have built and made. We know that he is constantly at work, creating doubts within our hearts and minds, and we pray that you will protect our minds against that. Wanting always to cause us to raise the fist against you. And we pray, our Father, that you will protect us from his power and remove any doubts from our mind and fill us with a sense of your presence like we've never had before, such as Andrea has shared with us, that even in the moment of the deepest sorrow, we may feel and know that you, the builder, the author of life, the maintainer of the universe, stand by us and with us. And for that, we give you our heartfelt thanks. We especially pray for the families of those who are involved and ask that you will be with them in a special way. Breathe your breath of life into them, we pray. And may they be quickened spiritually as they've never been before. And we'll give you our thanks in our Savior's name. Amen. I don't think we have time to really move into the subject that I would like to this morning. But one, can I teach you a chorus? It's on the handout that I was going to give you. And I'll hold that for next week, but I think it's simple enough that we can pick it up. The words go like this. It's just four lines. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you came. Holy Spirit, won't you tell us more about his wondrous name? And that was one of the things that we would be sharing with you this morning about the work of the Holy Spirit in the experience of the Christian, is to tell us more about our Lord Jesus Christ. The words of the chorus are, thank you, God, for sending Jesus. That's the first line. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you came. And that part is praise and thanksgiving. And then the second part is a prayer. Holy Spirit, won't you tell us more about his wondrous name? Andrea, let's see if we can try it. Huh? catchy tune. I think we'll get it easily. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you came. Holy Spirit, won't you tell us more about His wondrous name? Okay, let's try it. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you came. Holy Spirit, won't you tell us more about His wondrous name? Marvelous. Sounds good. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you came. Holy Spirit, won't you tell us more about His wondrous name? Let's sing it again, shall we? Thank you, God, for sending Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you came. Holy Spirit, won't you tell us more about His wondrous name? Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you came. Holy Spirit, won't you tell us more about His wondrous name? The words are simple enough, and I think the tune is catchy enough that you might find yourself singing that through the week, which wouldn't be too bad. We'll do it one more time, and then we'll quit on that part. Shall we? Thank you, Jesus, for sending Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you came. Holy Spirit, won't you tell us more about His wondrous name? We have about 8 minutes left. And we don't want to go downstairs too early because there are Sunday school classes down there. But perhaps those of you who have been with us for the last few weeks as we've talked about the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament and in the life of our Lord Jesus have some questions or some added comments that you would like to make at this time. No? Come on.
Yeah, I'm going to share.
All right.
About a little over three years ago, and I'm still trying to figure out exactly why, but God, through His Holy Spirit, I would say, revealed that I had a tumor, a malignant tumor in my right kidney. And the surgeons were going to put out the kidney. That tumor was small. And at the time, I can remember going thinking about the situation and since I've known the Lord for many years, it didn't seem to bother me too much, but I guess I had a concern from the family. Praying that whatever would be the outcome and it turned out a positive and good outcome, the body concerned that for becoming bitter in the situation. Easy to do or know for myself. And I'm just here to say that even though it turned out at the time it wasn't totally sure that it would, yet I feel sure God through His working of the Holy Spirit. That I deserve my sin. Get that from me, sir. I'm sure that you can use that thing now. Because I deserve you.
Okay, thank you, Dick. Any other testimonies that you'd like to give or questions that you'd like to ask? All questions answered. Yes. Thank you, David. Well, I think we can dismiss with prayer. It is a time of testing for all of us, and none of us is immune from this kind of thing, or even from the effects of it. So let us strengthen the faith of each other and pray for each other. I don't know how many of you have a habit of using your Bethany bulletin as a sort of a prayer list. And that's why we sort of encourage you college students who want to be a part of the fellowship to make sure that you register your name, because there are those who use the bulletin as a regular prayer reminder to pray for you. So let us pray for one another as we continue this pilgrimage. For it is that, and there are many times when the enemy would divert us from the truth and divert us from the one who alone is the source of our life and hope forever. Now, Father, we just ask that you will bless this hour of fellowship together in the midst of our pain. And we pray that you will strengthen each one of us in the faith and not allow the enemy to diminish it in any way. And we'll give you the thanks and praise in our Savior's worthy name. Amen.